One body, many members, unity and a diversity. When I think about diversity these days, I think about the coming IVEP conference and the opportunity you still have to host. I think of the town of Leamington with people, men and women, younger and older, wealthier and poorer people from different parts of the world, migrant workers, people that have been here. I talked to somebody at the Mennonite Home a few weeks ago whose grandparents have been part of founding Leamington. I think of First Nations people that have been here even before that. There's incredible diversity right here in Leamington. But I also think of the classes that I taught ESL to. So before becoming a pastor for 8 years, I taught ESL in different contexts. First, for 3 years, I taught in Cairo, Egypt, while with Mennonite Central Committee there. I taught in an Orthodox church with students who were largely Christian, who were largely Orthodox Christian. The occasional Muslim student would brave the church building, but this was really rare. It was wonderful to teach these students, these Egyptian students, and I loved my time in Egypt. I loved my Egyptian students, and many of them became good friends of mine. I learned a lot about Egyptian culture from them. And in class, we would often compare some of my Canadian perspectives on things and their Orthodox Christian Egyptian perspectives on things. I found our discussions interesting and helpful, but the students' perspectives were fairly similar. They were young adults, they were Christian, they were Egyptian. And so even while in Egypt, I sometimes had to look for other sources of different perspectives to understand the place and the situation. When I returned to Canada, I taught ESL in Toronto for 5 years at the Mennonite New Life Center of Toronto. And here I taught a mix of refugees and landed immigrants from around the world. There was always incredible diversity in the room. In our discussions on any question, we would hear from refugees and from landed immigrants, from men and women, young adults and older adults, Chinese, Colombians, people from different parts of Europe, Sudanese, people from all parts of the world. As we listened to each other, our understanding of any question became broader, and our minds were open to possibilities we wouldn't have even considered. It was fascinating and stimulating and so much fun to be part of that group. And it seems to me that kind of incredible diversity is a little bit what Paul is talking about and celebrating in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we heard read this morning. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. Hands, ears, eyes, nose, feet. One blog I was reading this week talked about being a nose hair in the body of Christ. I don't know if that's something to aspire to, but it is actually really significant. The nose hairs are really significant in our bodies, right? So that was a blog this week. God celebrates diversity. God celebrates our uniqueness and our differences. We are each important in the church, in this strange and wonderful body of Christ that we are part of. Your way of being, your way of doing, you are important to the congregation and to the church. Of course, so is the person beside you, and the person across the way, the person on a different floor, and the person who isn't here, but could be if we were better at the diversity thing. Diversity isn't easy. It expects things of us. It expects us to pay attention to difference, to listen to and learn from difference. In some ways, it was much easier to teach my class in Egypt than it was to teach my class in Toronto. It expects us, difference sometimes expects us to change. It pushes us outside of our comfort zone, outside of the easy relationships of those who think and act the same way as we do. It forces us to examine our places of privilege and power. Forces us to sometimes work through conflict. Paul was writing to the churches in Corinth, churches that were in conflict. Later, they were in conflict with Paul. When he wrote 1 Corinthians, they had a lot of conflict within the congregation, or the series of congregations that were in Corinth. They've lined up behind different leaders in ways that led to divisions in the congregation. Even communion has become a source of division in the congregation, and this time between wealthy and poorer people in the churches. And there were other sources of conflict. There was a fair bit of conflict around some misguided sexual ethics that were happening at the time in that context. So Paul writes his letter. He writes about many gifts, but one spirit. He writes this passage to a church in conflict, and in response to that conflict. Paul is calling for unity in the church in Corinth. He's calling them to come together in mutual support. But he is very clear that unity does not come from uniformity. All who are baptized, he says, are part of the body of Christ. All, slave and free, Jew and Greek. In other letters, Paul includes male and female. And we could probably think here in our context, we could probably think of other dualities that are maybe appropriate in our context. There are no limits to who might be included. In fact, Paul is quite clear that none of us can choose who is part of the body and who isn't. We can't legitimately exclude anyone from the body of Christ. Paul says it like this: the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This actually isn't our decision. None of us actually has that role in the church. I think I probably do want to add that in very rare cases, when there are known safety issues, significant boundaries sometimes need to be part of inclusion. But it can't be our prerogative to exclude others from the church. And then Paul also has these lines that at the same time we don't exclude ourselves from the church. I think sometimes that can also be our temptation because we don't think we're good enough. It's not about comparing ourselves to others. Paul says, if the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. I struggle with this sometimes. I see someone who's amazing at working for justice, and I'm amazed and I wish that I could be like her. But the reality is that I don't have her particular gifts in the same way that she does. My place in the church is different, and that's okay. In fact, it isn't really about giftedness. I always find it significant that at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit descends and God declares that Jesus is beloved and God is well pleased with him. And that's before he's done anything. We are beloved. We are welcome. God is pleased with us. And it doesn't have to do with our gifts, abilities, accomplishments. Paul wasn't the first person in the Roman world to use this image, this body imagery, as a communal reality. Other writers used the same image, but they used it differently. Paul really twisted around how it was used in that context. Other people who use this body imagery stress that every body needs a head. And in Roman society, that was provided by the wealthy and the rulers and the elite. And everybody needs hands and feet to do the hard and dirty work. And that was provided by everybody else. And so some writers from some of those upper classes would use this body imagery to kind of say these differences, this hierarchy in society, that was how it should be, like a body. But Paul does the opposite. He turns that image upside down. He stresses the importance of those who might seem less important, and the honor and respect of those who are often considered less honorable or respectable. They are the priority. It isn't your gifts and abilities, your role or position that makes you part of the church. It isn't your background or your family connections. It isn't how you're the same as the others in the congregation. It isn't your ethnicity, or your mental health, or your physical health, or ability, or your age. The church isn't a bounded thing, a thing with boundaries. It isn't a place of boundaries. It's a centered entity. My ESL class in Toronto was centered on learning English and learning Canadian culture. These tasks were what centered the class and brought together such diversity. The church isn't centered on a task. The church, says Paul, is centered on Christ through the one Holy Spirit. It's this centering, this participation in Christ, that makes us one body. We are diverse and yet one through that centering. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or freed, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. We're not one because we're the same, but because the Holy Spirit is moving among us. We're one because we're followers of Jesus. This unity in diversity thing is hard. It's hard work. It's so much easier when everyone is like me, thinks like me, likes the same music as me, has the same theology as me. When I was living in Cairo, I remembered I enjoyed getting to know my Egyptian friends, and I also really loved when I could spend some time with my Canadian friends, because it was easier. It was easier to be with people from my culture and people who thought like me. So it's easier when everybody thinks like me, when people like the same music as me, when people have the same theology as me. There's a reason that there have been so many church splits in history, including in our Mennonite history. There's a reason that we don't always feel comfortable in another congregation. There's a reason that some people don't feel comfortable or at home here at North Leamington United Mennonite Church. It's just a whole lot easier when everyone's the same. There's something, I think, to be said for diversity among congregations, and that constant splitting that's happened in church history has led to different gifts in different churches that I celebrate. But I believe that even within a congregation, we can celebrate diversity even as we struggle with it. And I want to share a few, three stories, three situations in congregations that I think illustrate a little bit some of the challenges of diversity. So one is a congregation that has a growing number of members from diverse ethnic backgrounds. People from India, Colombia, Eritrea, and Sudan choose to make this Caucasian congregation, predominantly Caucasian congregation, their home. Friendships form, and this increasing diversity is celebrated. One of these newcomers is invited to be on church council. But council functions in a very North American style, with very North American ways of using technology, kinds of discussion, and time frames that don't fit her cultural way of doing things. Her attendance becomes sporadic, and she doesn't renew her term. Another congregation has always had male pastors and mainly men at the front on Sunday morning. Now more and more women are involved in leading worship. Some lay speakers are women, and the worship committee is predominantly women. When guests come to worship, they see lots of female leadership in this congregation. Yet at church council, where decisions about congregational direction are made, only men sit at the table. Another congregation is known for the way they include people with mental and physical disabilities. In fact, they become the go-to church for families with children on the autistic spectrum. One prominent member has severe physical impediments that make it hard for him to get around and difficult for others to understand his speech. He comes to church very regularly, attends congregational meetings, but people struggle to know how to relate to him. At a potluck meal, he's sitting at a table and no one joins him until all the other tables are full. What are the barriers to inclusion, to diversity? What are the barriers to inclusion and diversity here at North? What are the ways that we consciously and unconsciously exclude? How do we shy away from diversity because it's so much harder? What keeps us at the center that might move others to the edges? Or how do we feel out of place and not quite part of it? What makes us feel that way? As we continue to practice this community called church, I encourage us to think about the center, to center ourselves on Christ. I challenge us to think about the barriers to involvement and the ways we can make everyone feel welcome. I invite us to center our community on Christ and celebrate everyone who becomes part of the community. And finally, I want to say to each one of you, to everyone here, you are an important part of this community. You are part of this congregation where we're trying to get it right, trying to be Christ-centered, trying to live out our faith. We need you. We need who you are. Forgive me when I don't get it right. Forgive us when we don't. Let's continue to build up this community, this body centered on Christ, together. Amen. A song of response.